PM GMT Close One.
Mighty manifestation of the move of God. I'm believing God that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former.
For updates, please call +32 465 445702 or +32 466 081043. Greater Works 2020, Apostle Jameson Suleiman.
I'll see you in Belgium.
Ancient powers from the ancient God comes to Toronto, Canada.
Please take a minute. This is good news coming. You don't want to miss all God has outlined for you this year, 2020. I'll be coming to Toronto, Canada for outburst of God's grace and glory. We're going to be gathering at the feet of the Master to eat from His table, spreading our hands to receive His blessings, touching our lives, moving us from one level of glory to another.
3rd and 4th March 2020 by 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. daily, live at Toronto Grand Convention Center, number 30, Baywood Road, Toronto, Canada. For inquiries, please call +164 7385 9871 or +164
Shout glory!
Praise God from Atlanta to the rest of the world. I'm coming to Atlanta. Be my guest in this great outburst and outpour of God's overwhelming grace and power and glory for signs, wonders, and miracles.
Have another miracle. This man became crippled at the age of 3.
Since he was 3.
Papa, he was killing when he became.
Look at the bone twisted. Look at the bone.
This is Greater Works 2020. You live in the United States of America, you live in South America, you live in Mexico, you live in the surroundings, or you live in Europe, be my guest. Tell everyone, your friends, your relatives, and tell them to tell someone that Apostle Jameson Suleiman is coming to Atlanta. Tell the 1st of March and the 1st of April. The first quarter, it's time to wrap it up and wrap it up with grace and glory. I'll see you in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't know how long you have been crying. I don't know how long you have been crying. I don't know how many tears you have shed. But I want to tell you, there is a shift in the atmosphere tonight. By the time my Father in the Lord will match dispute, that problem will give away. That problem will give away. Here on Amosa Tataleya. Anything can happen now. Hallelujah.
Come on, jam those hands together for Jesus.
Amen.
I didn't say clap for me, I say clap for Jesus.
Amen.
Please, if you hear your name, you just come out for your testimony. Pastor Mrs. Uche, please just come forward for your testimony. Mrs. Shola Adebanjo, Sister Elizabeth Chukuma, Sister Elizabeth Chukuma, Sister Doris Ibe, Miss Bibi Amakiri, Mrs. Efosa Odion, Mrs. Ungozi Okeke. Let's clap for them as they come forward, please. Sister Aiti Opiahi. Please, you can come up. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
She applied for driver's license 2015, 2016. And they rejected her. They didn't give her the license. But somewhere along the line, she came across Papa on YouTube. As she watched Papa on YouTube, she was like, wow, who is this man of God? So she went to Auchi in 2018 to attend Ebenezer 2018. And when she got to Auchi, she bought the t-shirt with Papa's picture. So when she came back that same year, she used the t-shirt to snap the picture that she used for the passport to apply for the driver's license. Hallelujah. And guess what? She applied for the driver's license in April. And by December 2018, they gave her the driver's license. Now, why she just came out here, she just told me that they also gave her a car.
Charge.
Free of charge.
Yes.
Come on, clap for Jesus. I need to clap for me. I say clap for Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. This is Sister Efosa Odion. Now, she has a child of about 14 years. A daughter of about 14 years. When she heard that Papa was coming to Munich in Germany, a friend of hers invited her to the program because after that 14 years old child, she could not give birth to another one. Now, she went for that program, not for fruit of the womb, because she has given up on the idea of getting fruit of the womb. She was just believing God for IVF. Because she wanted to do IVF, she was believing God that Papa will lay hands on her, so that the IVF will be successful. But when she went there, Papa did not locate her the first day. But by the second day, while Papa called for seed, that people should come and shake his hand with seed, she came forward to shake Papa's hand. While she was leaving, she whispered to Papa and said, I don't have a child for 14 years. And Papa lay hands on her. That was February. By March, she missed her period. From IVF, she has given birth to a bouncing baby girl. Where is the girl? Come on, clap for Jesus. This is the 14 years old daughter. And you are sitting down looking like that. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Uche. God gave her a miracle apartment. She was believing God for a miracle apartment when Papa came to London last year. And Papa made a declaration that God was giving people miracle apartment. And she killed into it. And God gave her a 5-bedroom house. Come on. If you are trusting God for your own, I think you should take a seat and just quickly drop on this altar. You want to get your own apartment in London? Just come and drop something here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is Sister Bibi and Makri. She saw Papa on YouTube and she began to watch Papa. And she saw the advert of Papa coming to Torino program. And proud to that time, she's been going through a lot of things in her life. Her finances were down. She didn't even have money to take care of herself for the program. But she bought tickets immediately and she got on the next available flight. Now, when she landed Torino, she didn't have money for accommodation. But the Spirit of God gave her direction and said, don't leave the airport. Just wait somewhere. So while she was waiting by faith, she saw a woman walking past and she followed the woman and said, excuse me, are you coming for the program also? The woman said, yes. She began to follow the woman. And when they got halfway, she told the woman, she said, I don't even have anywhere I will stay. The woman said, follow me. I will give you accommodation. That was the first miracle that God gave to her. And when she got to the meeting, God also located her. After that encounter, she had some friends that she has known way back in Nigeria. Not even Nigerians. They were Italians. They were white people. God located her to them, through them, and they blessed her also financially before she left Torino. Come on, clap for Jesus. Where is your mom? She can't climb. Okay, that's fine. Let's just see your mom. Clap for Jesus. Papa called her mom out. I think that was last year. Last year, Open Heaven. And while Papa called the mom out, Papa did not tell the mom anything. Papa just told the mom to sit on his chair. And Papa told her and said, you are worrying about your children. You should be worrying about your health. Now, they didn't even know the actual age of their mom. Because the age on the passport of their mom is different from the actual age. But right there and then, Papa said, 43 plus 43. That is 86. Your mom is 86 years old. Now tell us what happened after that encounter.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm just here to return all the glory to God Almighty. As you can see, my mom is sitting here. Last year, we came to this program, and Papa called Elizabeth. I was sure it wasn't her, but she just rushed out. When Papa saw her, Papa said, oh, Mama, sit on my chair. And she sat on Papa's chair. And she started crying. So Papa was saying to her, why are you worried? So I said to Papa, oh, she's worried about her children. Papa looked at all the pictures in my hand. And she said, oh, they are all fine, Mama. Worry about yourself. See, she wasn't satisfied. After the program, I know a lot of people came to her. Some were even tapping her bottom. Say, Mama, please pray for me. You've carried anointing. But she, in her mind, she wasn't happy. So when we got home, she was telling everybody, because she normally watch celebration TV. Everybody knows her to be Papa's mama, because before she goes to bed, she'll take the Papa Suleiman, God of Papa Suleiman. Every day she prays, my brother will be laughing, everyone will be laughing. So when, like October last year, she fell ill. So I took her to the GP, and the GP she was breathless. When the GP saw her, the GP just looked at me and he said, oh, I beg, the GP is a Nigerian man. He said, take her. It's end time. What plans have you got for her? I've known you guys a lot. So I really felt very emotional. I was really upset with him. So cut long story short anyway, when after that, I took her to A&E. And when they saw that our situation was very, very critical, they admitted her. And because of the age on her passport, they were not drastic with her treatment. So they took time. They did not do anything. After 1 week, they decided that they wanted to discharge her. So I've already agreed for the discharge. We're just waiting for them to discharge her. I just believe it's God. That day, she was wearing Papa's t-shirt. We're about to go home. So I just stepped out. Someone now called me and said, your mother has changed, oh. There are doctors everywhere. I don't know what is going on, oh. Then I ran back and I came to her. When I came, doctors, cardiologists, whatever you can tell, they were all just surrounding her in Mayday Hospital. One just called me and he said, because of her age, we cannot resuscitate her. You know what that means? I said, yes. And he said, oh, we're going to give her injection. And when she comes back, well, to God be the glory. She doesn't come back, that is it. But prior to that, she was wearing Papa's t-shirt. She was just there saying, Papa Suleiman, Papa Suleiman, Papa Suleiman. So God be the glory. After 2 hours when they gave her the injection, she sneezed and she came back to life. I'm just
saying. Come on, clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Our mother here is Mrs. Ungozi Okeke. When Papa came to London last year, she came with her daughter, who is a medical doctor, and she was suffering from leukemia. Her daughter was suffering from leukemia. So the daughter was sitting somewhere here. And Okay, she's here. Come on. This is the daughter. Clap for Jesus. Come, daughter. Hallelujah. Now, when Papa mounted the pulpit, Papa went straight to the doctor. Some of you were here that time. And whispered in her ears and said, you have a problem with your blood. It is leukemia. And Papa prayed with her. And Papa told her and said, my daughter, you are free. And immediately, leukemia disappeared. Now, listen, look at where the testimony is. Prior to that time, the medical team attending to her, they had given up on her case. And the head of that team is a professor of medicine. The head had told her to write her will that she will die, she will not survive it. And even when the mom, they were to reapply for her documentation here, the recommendation, what they wrote to the embassy was to allow the mom stay with her daughter in case she dies, so that the mom can take care of her kids. But to the glory of God, here is our daughter, the daughter of God, standing right here before us. Come on, clap those hands together for Jesus. Give him praise, give him glory.
God of Elijah, Jehovah Tibera, one rain by fire, come and manifest yourself. God of Elijah, Jehovah Tibera, one who rains by fire, come and manifest yourself. God of Elijah, Jehovah Tibera, one who rains by fire, come and manifest yourself. God of Elijah, Jehovah Tibera, the one who raised the fire, come and manifest yourself.
God of Elijah,
Jehovah Tibera, the one who raised the fire, manifest yourself.
Hold on. How many people believe that miracles are real? Sometimes, you know, if you are not spiritual, sometimes when you see gatherings like this, if you are not spiritual and you are not deep, you may tend to just explain it away. But when God gives you a privilege, an opportunity to walk into a meeting like this, your expectation needs to be heavy. Listen to me clearly. No matter the promises, no matter the words of God's plan for you, it takes a man to put a date. No matter what God has said about you, it takes a man to activate the timing. Because God will not put a time. I'll explain. There are a lot of people who say, oh, but the Bible says it makes everything beautiful in his own time. Some say, oh, Jesus said my hour is not yet come. I will explain to you. God is called the Ancient of Days. He does not live in a time zone. He lives in eternity. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 1 a.m., 7 a.m. are all pontifications of men. Those were devised by men to regulate how we live, how we move. But God does not live in a time zone. Or if you activate God into a time zone, you'll be in trouble. Because 2 Peter 3:8 says, 1,000 years is a day, days 1,000 years. So as far as God is concerned, if God says, I'll see you tomorrow, it means I'll see you 1,000 years time. So God does not live in a time zone. Anything you think God will do, he has done. Before Mary, the mother of Christ, before she ever came into this world as a woman, she was already pregnant. She was already pregnant. Isaiah chapter 9 says, a virgin shall conceive, even before she got pregnant in Matthew. She was pregnant in Isaiah, but it needed a prophet to call forth the pregnancy and put a time. Am I communicating? It needed a prophet to call forth. Revelation, listen. Revelation 13:8 said that he was slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam fell, Jesus had already been crucified. Before Adam ever fell, God already set things in motion. That was why when Adam fell, God still came to fellowship. You think God was not aware? He was aware, but I've made provision. It was Adam who opened his mouth and said, I am naked. God said, who told you? I've already put things in place to settle that issue, but you have admitted guilt. So you can go. So he left for you to put a date. And only God, when Jesus said, my hour is not yet come, Mary knew the secret. Mary turned. He said, whatsoever is set unto you, do it. Meaning it's in your hand to activate his hour. He said, Abraham, you are going to have a child. 1 year, 2 years. Abraham would have waited for eternity. When he got to the 25th year, Genesis 18, three men were walking the plains of Mamre. Abraham took them in and fed them. They said, by this time next year. Abraham, by this thing you have activated, you have put a date. Or else you would have waited for eternity. By this, you have activated. Can I put a date on that testimony? Can I put a date on the expectation? Can I put a date on the expectation? There's somebody under the sound of my voice. In the next 72 hours, every expectation is granted.
Consuming fire, we worship you today. You are the
all-consuming fire. Come and manifest yourself.
Consuming fire,
consuming fire. We worship you today.
Yes, Lord.
You are the all-consuming fire. Come and manifest yourself.
Everybody say, consuming fire.
Consuming fire. We worship you today. You are the all-consuming fire.
Come and manifest
yourself.
Sing, consuming fire.
Consuming fire.
Yes, Lord.
We worship you today.
Yes, Lord.
You are the all-consuming
come
fire.
Come and manifest.
Come and manifest yourself.
Yes, Lord. You've got fire in your eyes, Lord. Nothing has brought you up. You see everything. Ah, even the deep and secret of men, Lord. Expose every evil. Ah. Consume every wickedness. You are the all-consuming fire.
Come and manifest.
Everybody say, consume fire.
Consuming fire.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You are the all-consuming fire.
Come and manifest.
Come and manifest.
Say, consuming fire.
Consuming fire.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fire, make me a shining light, ha. Set my soul on fire, manifest yourself through me, Lord. See through my eyes, Lord. Speak through my voice, hey. You are the all-consuming fire.
Come on, manifest.
Everybody say, consuming fire.
Consuming fire.
Yahweh,
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 life. God bless you. Glory to the Lamb of God. Can we take our seats? You know, just the way we had testimonies of the people that were visited by the Lord in the previous programs we had. When we returned to the UK or returned to London, God would have done so many things that someone would stand on this same podium or anywhere we'll be at then and give that testimony that would be so mind-blowing. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 7. I appreciate all our pastors, all protocol duly observed. Amen. God bless you, choir. Take your seat. Amen. I'm happy you are getting very lively in the choir. Remember the first or second meeting I had? Hey, God help us. I felt like a nurse in a doctor's convention. All right. 2 Kings chapter 7. Okay, we'll do verse 3 to verse 9. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. Entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall be die." And they arose in the twilight and to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had underlined that word had 500 times. Had made the host of Syria to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, the king of the Egyptians, to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, horses, their asses, even their camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. So when the Lord changes your status or changes your story, take of yourself first before you think of your siblings. It sounds selfish, but it is the truth. Because at the end of the day, it's only what you've done for yourself that you can fall back on, not what you've done for people. I'm saying this especially to those of you that live in this part of the world. Okay? You work so hard, you do so much, your years are rolling by, you can't do that for people. You need to first take care of yourself. The Bible says, take it to thyself, Acts 20:28, and to the flocks. It has to be yourself. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, because over time, sometimes I become too sentimental. Sentimentality is not spirituality. Alright? Are you following me? He said, they did what? Eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Investment. They banked it. And they said one to another, "We do not well this day. It's a day of good tidings. We hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, that we may go and now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household." Tell somebody, move and live. Move
and live. L-I-V. When you sit, you die. You move, you live. Tell that to five people. Move and live. Everything in life wants you to be normal. Everything in life wants normalcy. Everything in life wants you to maintain the status quo, especially if you live in this part of the world. Everything wants you to live even below average. Everything wants you to be normal. But for you to make certain impact, definite impact in life, you've got to live above board. You've got to take certain dangerous steps. You've got to come out of the box. You've got to come out of normalcy to enjoy certain things in life. Every word that is spoken by God, until you see it, you can't eat it. When Elijah, the place that we read from, prior to that chapter 7, chapter 6, the Bible says, a famine besieged the land. It was a time of scarcity. It was a time where they had nothing to eat. There was limitation and drought everywhere. And a man of God by the name of Elisha, he gave a prophecy and said, by this time tomorrow, and I said the same thing to somebody under the sound of my voice, that by this time tomorrow, there is an outburst coming your way. By this time tomorrow, there's a visitation coming from the Almighty. By this time tomorrow, there is harvest coming from the throne of God. If your amen is louder, take your blessing. Take your seat. He said, and he said, by this time tomorrow, and the Bible says, one of the Lord on whom the king leaned, for the man to have spoken against that prophecy, it means the man must have been the economic advisor, because that was his jurisdiction and his department, that was his constituency. He said, what is this man talking about? He was trying to logically calculate how the prophecy will materialize. He was trying, that means, how can this thing happen in 24 hours? If he says in a month, then we can understand. He didn't know that the harvest was waiting somewhere. The harvest needed a word to activate it. Am I talking to somebody here? The problem you have in London is not the lack of jobs. It's not a problem with your finances. It is scarcity of words. It is scarcity of pronouncements. Am I talking to somebody here? I tell people all the time, when you see a man of God who is graced, ask him for words. Let him speak words over your life. Am I talking to somebody here? Guess what? He was trying to imagine, how can this be? And guess what he said? He said, even if God, anytime you try to logically reason out a prophecy, you are daring God. Anytime you logically try, the doctor say you can have a baby and you have no womb, and you are logically trying to, you are daring God. And if you dare God, expect a reply. If you dare God, if you dare question God, God replied the man. He said, you will see it and not eat it. Meaning, every prophecy, every word, once it is released, once you can picture the possibility of that word, then it means the edibility is possible. Once you can picture the visibility, then the edibility is possible. He didn't just tell the man you will die. He said, you will not see it or eat it. Meaning, if you can see it, you will eat it. God said, you are going to have a child. If you can see it in your mind, you will eat it. God said, you will get married. If you can see it in your eyes, you can eat it. I say, you will eat that word. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said, Genesis 1, verse 6, God said, Genesis 1, verse 9, God said, Genesis 1, verse 11, God said, Genesis 1, verse 14, God said, Genesis 1 verse 20, and God said, Genesis 1 verse 24, and God said, Genesis 1 verse 26,
And God said, Genesis 1 verse 29. And God said, Genesis 1 verse 31. And God saw. God said, till he saw. If you can keep saying, you will see. Take your seat. This was a word. In the midst of scarcity and famine, men have besieged Samaria. The poverty was so much that women began to eat up their children. Women began to eat up their children. Listen to me. The presence of witchcraft on the platform of witchcraft is scarcity. That's the truth. And the Bible says, a woman said, cried to the king and said, this lady, my friend, we have a joint agreement. And the agreement was that we will eat my child today. I came to report her. She has eaten her child. I'm hungry. I need to eat up a child. And when I saw that, I was a little bit bemused. Like, how do women eat up their children? Where was the father to stop that from happening? And God told me they had already eaten the father. Am I talking to somebody here? What does that tell me? That a mother can decide the destiny of a child. A mother stands a better chance. That is why the Bible says in Proverbs 1 verse 8. It says, do not forsake the instruction of thy father and the law of thy mother. What your father says is instruction. What your mother says is law. Am I talking to somebody here? In other words, if you are a woman, I don't care how diabolic your husband is, no matter what he has said about the children, you carry them in your womb. You can make definite declaration. You can make pronunciation. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Most mothers don't know how to use the grace they command. They don't know how to use the grace they command. Jesus was invited to a wedding, and only the mother was invited there, not the father. Jesus was ministry one time, and they said to Jesus, they said, thy mother and thy brethren are outside seeking to talk to you. Not thy father and thy brethren, but thy mother and thy brethren, because thy mother controls thy brethren. The problem is that when we are praying against foundational powers, we pray concerning paternal, not knowing that maternal operations are silent. They come very silent. They creep into lives, creep into destinies. They creep into home, creep into people's future. There are mothers who can sit down to make decree. And the man called Isaac wanted to bless Esau, but Rebecca changed it. Am I talking to somebody? Rebecca called. He said, my son, don't go out to the bush. I will teach you how to organize already made venison. That your father is looking for something in the bush that I can arrange inside the house. Take your seat. Can I say this? No way of offense. Can I say this? It's your mother that knows who your father is. No means of offense. The man is, she pointed to you. When the woman wants to mess up a man, he says, you think they are your children? The man is dead. So you think they are your children? Now, no matter, even if she was joking, family meeting has just been initiated. People, we have to sit on that matter. The man goes, his blood pressure heightens. He sits down, he can't sleep. He begins to look at the children, their nails, and look at their face, and look at their ears. And he smiles, he looks at the way they smile. He checks their mannerism. And what, because he has doubt in his heart, he begins to see some of the things that he never saw before. Am I talking to somebody else? The woman has messed up his mind. You must get to understand, as a mother, use the powers you control. Use the grace on your life to make decrees over your children. I am the product of a praying mother. Am I talking to somebody here? I'm the product of a praying mother. My mom would carry my photograph from place to place because I was a major concern to her. Every time from school, they would call my mom, "Your son has broken someone's head." She would come to school. The last one that go up was when I slapped the teacher. Then, not now. When you screamed, I'm worried. I'm talking about my past. You are this concerned. And they said, "I slapped the teacher." So my mom was like, "Okay, okay." She left the office and she came. I mean, it was terrible. Even when I became a believer, became born again, it was also terrible. I remember one time I entered into a vehicle, a commercial bus, and a herbalist, what we call a native doctor, South Africans call it a sangoma, a witch doctor, was sitting in the car. He had a charm in his pocket, voodoo in his pocket, and it fell on my seat and I seized it. I kept it in my pocket. So I kept it. I just got born again. Then I entered buses looking for trouble, just going to hospitals looking for trouble, just trouble. Many times they had pushed me out of hospitals, pushed me out of prison houses. One time we are going to a morgue, a mortuary. They say, "Where are you going there?" We say, "We want to go and see those that died to raise them up." They say, "Yeah, come back, come back." And we're just looking for trouble, rascally. And then I saw the man traced to my house because he knows me obviously, and he came with some boys and everything. And my mom said to me, "You brought a charm to this house." I said, "Yes, mom, it's not a charm. There's nothing there. It's toy." My mom said, "Give it to him." I said, "For what now?" I paid transport. I helped him convey his charm. He has to pay to claim it. So the man brought some money. I said, "That's not the fee. Pay and claim it. Or I will break it, give you part. When you bring the balance," he had to look for money. I mean, when I took that charm, a Christian brother said to me, "Be careful, don't touch that thing with your hands." And I asked him, "How did the man carry it into the bus?" He used his nose or his teeth. He used his hand. So I'm using my hand. Am I talking to somebody right now? So I was a concern to my mom. A concern. When I was to get married, my mom was shaking. He said, "I could manage you. Now I'm going to manage two people." He said, "Because that woman is going to be in trouble." I said, "Mama," he said, no, "I know what I'm saying. Keep quiet. You don't know yourself. I know you." But she prayed. She prayed. Am I talking to somebody now? I mean, these pastors, the reason I love and value two of them so much, if you put your head down, God help you. Raise it up when I'm talking. Am I communicating? Why I value this, that they came around me in my raw state. He has built me for almost 30 years. He has built me in about 27 or so. 27 years. They came, some things will happen now. And they say, "What did Papa say?" They say, "Papa didn't say anything." The mother's prayer is working. He has changed. Because in those days, somebody will collect slap. Somebody's teeth will be uprooted. Am I talking to somebody here? I used to tell my pastors, "If you want to come to pastor's meeting late, only for one reason, that you come, you are not in pastor's meeting at all. You have only one reason, that you died. That you died. And if you die, tell your wife to bring your corpse. We will bring you back to life and you will settle down and take notes." Am I talking to somebody here? But the prayer of a mother, as a mother, don't watch your children's life wasted. You can't be alive and they are not married. You can't be alive and they are sick. You can't be alive and they are broke and stranded. What are you doing as a mother that your children's life is in a state of cataclysm? What are you doing as a mother? Daughter is not married and you are eating. Any crisis I face and I call my mom, she say, "Go ahead, you are finished though." Hey, I say, "My son, go ahead, face them, nothing will happen." He say, "I'm on my knees." "You are finished." My mother says, "Go ahead." My wife says, "Go ahead." "You are finished." One time I had a confrontation with the leaders of the nation. My mom called me on phone. I thought she would panic. He said, "My son, you spoke the truth. The country's in a mess. Stand by it. Nothing will happen." I said, "Yay." He said, "I'm on my knees."
The way they came, that's how they will fall. What are you doing as a mother? You are wasting while your children are being messed up and molested by the forces of witchcraft. As a mother, you rise up to the challenge and place demand.
They have eaten up the children. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I talking to somebody here? They are eating up the children. They have messed up their lives. Messed up their... You see, let me say this to you. There is nothing God will do now that he hasn't done. That is why if you see every word, every promise of God is always in the past. You are going through a problem. He said, I have refined you. And you are going through it. He sees the end. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees the end from the beginning. He looked at Gideon, a frustrated young man who was hiding by the wine press, and he said, thou mighty man of valor. How can a man of valor be hiding by the wine press? God does not see your present state. He sees your final status. I said, God does not see you in your present state. He sees you in your final status. Tell somebody, move and leave. I can't hear you. Say, move and leave. Say, move and leave. Say, move and leave. And the Bible says, and the man spoke a word, meaning the harvest was waiting somewhere. Because prior to that time, before the leprous men came, the Syrians had abandoned their wealth. Even relocated from the camp. Meaning the harvest is always waiting. It needs a word to activate it. The harvest that the Lord has ordained for you in 2020, that the enemy has barricaded you and put an embargo that you cannot access or achieve, I prophesy upon your life that that harvest manifests. Manifest! 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 Somebody shot fire! Take your seat. We see some limitation here that stops people from motion. The first limitation there we saw was affliction. Affliction stops motion, retards progress. The Bible said they were leprous men. In Isaiah 30 verse 20, the Bible talks about the water of affliction. People, there are people that drink affliction like water. The Bible says in Jeremiah 48 verse 10, he said there is the fire, the furnace of affliction. Am I communicating here? In Psalm 132, I think verse 1, the Bible talked about David. Said God, remember David, 132:1, in and his affliction. You know, it doesn't come because you live in sin. In Psalm 34:19, he said many are the afflictions of what? The righteous. And the Lord delivered him. Verse 20 says, he keepeth all his bones and none shall be broken. Verse 21 says, evil shall slay the wicked and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. In Hebrews 11 verse 25, he said, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasure of sin for a season. Affliction comes in many lives. Affliction is a stage where you are all by yourself. Affliction is a condition where the enemy quarantines you to think that the best option is to quit. Am I talking to somebody here? But there is a response from the throne of God. God is putting an end to every affliction. What is affliction? Affliction is a sudden onslaught. A sudden onslaught of wickedness. With the intent to trigger pain, discomfort, and tears. A sudden onslaught of wickedness with intent to trigger pain, discomfort, and
tears. Whenever affliction is fired into the life of an individual, the enemy has an intention to keep him perpetual tears, perpetual pain, perpetual discomfort. That is why sickness is called disease. Disease is anything that takes your ease. Poverty is disease. Am I speaking to somebody here? There are so many of us who have been fired with all kinds of affliction, but there is a response from the throne of God. If your amen is louder, be free today. Tell somebody affliction is going out of your life. Say that to somebody on your left and right. Affliction is a sardonic evil design. A sardonic evil design with lugubrious intention. Lugubrious intention. Pontifications and expansions. Pontifications and expansion for the manifestation of timely extinction. There are people today, by reason of the arrows fired at them, Satan has a grand ultimate design to see that these people go into extinction, expiration, that they expire. But God is bringing response for somebody here. I didn't hear you. God is bringing response for somebody here. What is affliction? Affliction is an evil projection from hell. An evil projection from hell to empower status phantasmagoria and financial quagmire and spiritual caricoke nowhere. Now let me explain what I mean. Buy the tape. Somebody shall CD, DVD. Buy one. Affliction is a demonic state of bodily bisma. Bodily bisma. Targeted at wasting entirety, and prosticum. Prosticum is as quick as possible to do something on time. Am I talking to somebody here? Someone is looking at me. Okay. Let me leave definition. Can I preach? Okay, all right. Let me preach. Somebody say, no more affliction. Say, no more affliction. Say, no more affliction. Affliction is the faucet origo. Faucet origo is reason or the raison d'etre. The faucet origo, the raison d'etre. Wait, stop shouting, let me preach. Is the faucet origo the raison d'etre of thalidomide? Thalidomide is stillborn. Wait, stillborn. When something has a stillborn, it's not good news. When a woman has a stillborn, expectation is truncated. Am I talking to somebody here? The intention, it means the reason for this arrow is to truncate. Get your expectation. That is thalidomide. There is someone under the sound of my voice. Your expectation shall be fulfilled. Your expectation shall be fulfilled.
Reverend John, let me just stop definitions. Let me preach. Okay. Take your seat.
Somebody say, no more affliction. Wherever you are, any affliction, fire to your life, fire to your finances. I don't know where the affliction came from. Maybe in the life of your siblings. In the life of your siblings, that affliction expires. I say it expires. I say it expires.
In 2 Corinthians 4:17, I think, he said, our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Am I communicating here? The enemy
fired an affliction to the life of this man, but this could not stop them. It could not deter them. The greatest limitation in life is the one you place on yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, sickness cannot stop you. In every disability, there is ability. I don't care what the enemy has done, but I see God lifting you far above limitations of life, far above principalities and powers.
Somebody say, no more affliction. I can't hear you at all. I can't hear you at all. Some of us, we have limited God in our minds. We have limited God in our mind. Last year, I was preaching somewhere. It wasn't a program as it were. It was just an event, and I attended. I was on my way out, and they said, please, you can't go like that and say something. I said, but this is not a church. Few politicians, few people, somebody was doing something like a housewarming. So they just said, since you are coming, we told people you are coming, you know, it's an opportunity for you to minister. I said, I'm coming for the housewarming. They said, please, sir, just. I said, okay. So they did that, and I was to talk for about 10, 15 minutes. And I was talking, I discovered they were not listening. They were waiting for me to prophesy. I was talking about scripture, looking at me. And when I said, there's someone here. I said, okay. While I was ministering, there was a young girl that was serving small chops. You know, I spoke to a few people and I called the small girl. I said, the Lord is telling me that in 2 weeks, that this girl will be one of the biggest things around here. Now, people, I mean, those who didn't know her, obviously clapped. But I noticed the man whose house we were opening suddenly sat down and bent his head. So, when we finished, I was going to the car. He said, a man of God, 90 over 100 is pass mark. I said, what's that? See, other people you mentioned, I know a few of them is correct, but that girl is our house help. He said, so that thing you said, sir, you have put us in trouble. My wife does not believe prophecy. Now you have given her reason to doubt you more. He said, she sees those things as matchmaking. He said, I saw you were talking about others. She was like, wow, wow. As soon as you mentioned that girl, she said, I said it now. There must be an error somewhere. So I said, man of God, are you not a child of God? I said, Deacon, in a popular, they call it AG. You know what AG means? Okay. I said, are you not a man of God? Are you not a child of God? Don't you minister? He said, yes. I said, believe God. He said, I believe, oh. But this girl was handed over to us by the mother. She was like 14. She's been living with us. Now, I left. Few days later, he called me and said, something is happening. I said, what is happening? He said, this girl has been on our case that she wants to know her father. We contacted the mother who told us that she had a one-night stand with a popular politician many years ago. When she got pregnant, the man denied and was hunting for her life. And she left that city, that town, and relocated with the child. And every time when the child was growing up and the man appears on TV, he would tell the girl, that is your father. But he wants to kill you. So she had that mentality. But this time around, they narrated your story to them. When they mentioned the name of the man, this man told me he was shocked. The man is his friend. And he told the man, I would like to have a drink with you. And when they went and they began to talk, he said, how many kids do you have? He said, I don't have one. I don't have a child. And the man has kicked his wife out of the house. He lives alone. And he told the man, he said, your child is with me. The man said, you are mad. Something is wrong with you. To cut the long story short, when they drove to the house in the convoy, when you see the girl, you see the man. And the man refused to be convinced. He asked for a DNA. And when the results came out, the man collapsed. Am I speaking to somebody here? My friend said the first thing the man did was to kneel down and thank him, appreciated him, and wrote a check for him in dollars with several zeros. Took the girl in. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I talking to somebody? While the man was saying all that, I said, Pastor, relax. Calculate my tithes and bring to me. Am I talking to somebody here? Calculate my tithe and bring to me. Now hear me. God has the capacity to carry the words of a prophet. And
meaning the harvest has been around the girl. It needed a word. Oh, yeah, Papa Kalabashata.
Sit down, sit down. Let me explain. How do we say things and instantly they show up? You see, the man of God spoke. That same day it happened. It means it has been around. It was waiting for.
Every blessing of your life that has been hanging around, I make a decree. Manifest!
She didn't look like it. Carrying small chops. Wearing some kind of funny apron. And the Lord said, come, drop that thing and go. And the word was released. I may not lay hands on you, but I want to lay words. I came to lay words. I came to lay decree that in the next 7 days, Makosi Parika Tekapala, in the next 7 days, there is a massive harvest coming your way. Usher, take care of that. The power of God is everywhere. The power of God is everywhere. In the next 7 days, someone is contacting uncommon favor. If your amen is louder, take the blessing.
Take your feet.
The Bible says these leprous men were at the entering in of the gate. I'm trying to show you the limitations that stop people from moving. Gate! The gate is a limit. The gate is the spot where legislations are made, where proclamation is a demonic jurisdiction, where they make legislations and make decree. When we say gate, we are talking of things like covens. When we say gate, we are talking things like orchestration of wickedness, the gathering of the ungodly. Those are gates. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 28 verse 6, that they turn the battle to the gates. In Genesis 22, rather verse 17, he said that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply the seed. He said, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. In Psalm 24, if you read from verse 6 down to 7, the 7 says, lift up your heads
and be ye lifted up,
that the king. Okay? And then a voice spoke. Who? Every great man has a gate man. Who spoke? It was the gatekeeper, the gate man that was preventing the great. Who is this king of? It was a personality. Oh God. Lift up your head, O ye gate. Have you seen gate with head? Okay. He said, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the voice spoke, who is the? Have you seen gate that speaks? In Acts chapter 12, okay, maybe you don't, that's not elaborate. In Acts chapter 12, if you read, I think verse 10 or so, he said, when they came to the iron gate, it opened of his own accord. His, H-I-S. In English, it's called personification. It's not used to qualify an inanimate object. It's supposed to be it, but he said his. There was someone masquerading, someone behind the mask. Am I talking to somebody here? If in the Greek it is called hypocritics, from where you get the word hypocrite, it means wearing a mask, covering with a veil. Am I talking to somebody right now? The Bible says there was a gate of limitation. Decisions were being made. There are people sitting down making statements. That this is 2020, this and this and this is what. Hey, Koso Prakata. But Jesus said, I will build my church. And making declarations. They are making, listen to me, child of God. This is our own gate. We have gathered to settle matters. I said, we are gathered. No, Satan is a fool. The devil is a devil. He's a fool. Sometimes I ask myself, Satan, you keep flowing one prank for many years. You don't get wise. The devil made sure that Delilah knew the secret of Samson, took out his hair, and the devil made them keep him in a prison house. If the devil was wise, he would have kept a barber by him, so that when the hair grows, they take it off again. Satan was so stupid, not knowing that the hair will regrow. And the hair grew again. And the Bible says, outbeat the hair of his hair, began to grow again. And when he was growing, the Bible says, he said to the Lord that led him. He said to the Lord that led him. The Lord, the little child that led him. If God must lead you, you must admit you are a child. You must be a lad. Your problem is your education, with all due respect. Your Cambridge degree is the bedrock of your affliction. Your Leeds University certificate. You say, no, you see, God gives you a prophetic word, and you say, okay, in a same climb, you're trying to analyze. This kind of thing doesn't happen naturally. We need to compare and contrast vis-a-vis. And at the end of the day, when you try, you can never analyze spirituality. You only analyze logicality. But you can never analyze spiritual. It will blow your mental fuse. The Bible said there is no searching to his understanding. His ways are past. There is a gate. The professor was teaching his student, and he said to them, there is no God. Obviously, he's a fool, because the Bible says, fool says. See, there is no God. There is no God. While he was talking to them in University of Benin, Nigeria, while he was talking, he got a call that the daughter had been involved in an accident. And he shouted, oh my God! And the student said, sir, which God? No matter how you try to be academically correct, something inside you still acknowledges that there is divinity. And there is a world of darkness. We need to understand that there is a world of witchcraft. It is real, sir. Don't wait to be a victim before you react. The world of wickedness is real. I'm telling you something. The Bible says, and Saul met a woman called the witch of Endor. He said, bring me up the name that I shall give you. Bring me up the name that I shall give you. Meaning all they need is your name. That's all. Just get the name and you conjure the person. Bring me up the name that I shall give you. And he said, which name? He said, bring up Samuel. He said to the woman, what do you see? He said, I saw God's rising. She called Samuel, but God rose up. Wherever your name is conjured, wherever your name is invoked, God shall appear. God will show up. God will show up. If your amen is louder, you are the one I'm talking to. Let me tell five people. Tell five people the gates are going down. Take your seat. The gates are going down. God is about to show his almightiness. You know, Matthew 19:26 says, with God. How many? How many? Luke 1:37. He said, with God. How many? In Job 42 verse 2, he said, I know that thou can do all things. All things. I know. Job 42 verse 2. I know that thou can do all things. In Philippians 3 verse 20, I think, the Bible says God is able to subdue all things. Ephesians 3:21, Philippians 3:21 rather, Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works inside. In Daniel 3:17, the three blue boys said, our God whom we serve is able. In Hebrews 7 verse 25, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him, believing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The ability of God has never been in doubt. It's our receptibility that is a problem. When a prophetic word comes, no matter how massive it appears, possess it. Possess it. Possess it. Am I communicating? How do I move? Listen, let me say this to you. I repeat this. The greatest limitation in life is the limitation you place on yourself. One time, the Lord told me, 93, September, I was waiting on the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll take you around the world. I made the mistake of telling a man who had not been around the city. The biggest enemy of a dreamer is a non-dreamer. He criticizes, he analyzes. And I told him, I said, this is what God said. He laughed. He said, we with Christian names have not traveled. You with Arabic names. My morale died. Analysis paralysis. My morale died. I said, but that's what God said. Hey! When did you start preaching? Keep quiet there. God talks in parable. See, sometimes around the world can just be your community. And funny enough, a part of me believed him. I said, no. He said, his words are yea and amen. Not no and maybe. God speaks. God doesn't stutter. God doesn't stammer. So I said, no, this thing God has said. So I began to sit down to listen to my pastor, Benson Idahosa. And I heard the way he was talking. I was coming from Melbourne. When I stopped over in Miami, I said, here? Yeah? I did this, I did that. One time he was talking, that particular month was the month of May. He said, this month I've passed through England 20 times. I said, hey, it's possible. Don't move around people who are small-minded. Small-minded people shrink you. Big-minded people stretch you. Move with people. I fear to do a project with my wife involved. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. She will add things. I called my engineer. We are doing a project. So I told him what to do. And he said, I did a design. It's like this. I said, okay. Okay, can we just start? He said, can I show mama? I said, are you all right? Let's start first. We'll get her involved. I was worried. So after I was done with him, I said, let me just report myself. I said something. Don't call him, don't ask him. I'm just fulfilling all righteousness. The project is going to start. He said, oh, no, no problem, no problem. No problem. After a while, I felt I was oppressing her. So I said, make your contribution. She uttered it. So the man did another design and sent to me. I said, what is this? What is this? He said, this is what mama said. Obviously, the budget has changed. Everything that she gets involved in stands the test of time. Talking about physical structure. If I coordinate a building, I can give you one assurance. In 2 days, the building will be standing. 2 days. But as you are packing in, the tiles will be pulling off. As you are moving, the pillars will be shaking.
I just want it now, now. That's why I told you I don't preach patience. I want everything done now, now. Sometimes I ask my father, have you done it? He says, sir, but you just instructed. I said, go and do it. Am I talking to somebody here? That is why most of the things we achieve today, we achieve them. Because I know this is my weakness, it's our strength. So I allow her to take the lead. I just let her take the lead. See, they are doing something, I say, go and meet her. Sometimes when she's done with analysis, I say, how do you think? We're working on the building in our church. You've seen our church, it looks good. And we are working on the building. 99.9% is through her, not me. What am I doing with all those golden pillars? Pillar. Ordinary pillar. Go. She said, no. Relax. Allow me handle this. Move with people. You know, you must kill a Goliath to be popular. Move with people who are giant killers. Because it takes a lion heart to get a lion share. Am I talking to somebody here?
Some of you friends who tell you it's not possible. You show them your dreams. You say, give me pen. Give me pen. Are you alright? This is UK. UK. This is UK, UK. They go under. Good health. That's good. Now God get up. Good. Okay, this is God. This one. Okay. Car. Your own mortgage.
Buy house cash. Where?
You think this is Benin City? This is London.
Please avoid such people. Say to yourself, it is possible. I am making impact this year. I am making impact this year. Say it is possible.
Hold on. Why did I say what I said? Why did I say what I said? The Bible said they said to themselves. I'm not sure those were the only leprous people in that colony. But they were the lepers that think alike. That's number 3.
Avoid small-minded people. Move with people that think like you.
I wish I would say something to somebody here.
Move with people like that.
I used to have a pastor. You know, he was my prayer partner. He started praying some funny prayer. We were in the country one time. He was with his wife. I was with my wife. We were having devotions in the morning. Every morning, when I say lead, amen. We need to pray. Anything we committed knowingly or unknowingly. What is this now? So I just flow with him. In the afternoon, we're praying. We're going to pray again for mercy. Any sin we committed, the next morning, he said, hey, if you committed sin, repent. Please, don't drag me to your iniquity. I said, can you pray proper prayer? What is knowing? Why are you so conscious? What did you do wrong, sir? You better confess. Let's say it once and for all. What is any sin we committed? No. Anytime he's praying, any sin committed knowingly, commission or omission. What kind of stupid prayer is that? So I had to disconnect. When he came, he said, can we have time to pray? I said, no, I'm not available. Because I don't want you to give me this guilt. And I walked there with this pity, feeling that God is so far from me for what I did nothing over. Move with people of like minds. Move with people of like minds. Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 17, can somebody read that? Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 17:17. He said, the friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18:24. That a man that has a friend must show himself friendly. For there is a friend. I've said this, that there are age mates, there are roommates, there are classmates, there are flatmates, there are course mates. But there are no grace mates. She said, look at you. Not even when we went to school together. That means nothing. Somebody schooled with the Pope. And yet today the person kisses his ring.
Somebody went to school with the Pope.
Am I talking to somebody here? So you need to locate giftings and graces. Locate when you see them in people. Connect yourself.
Connect yourself. When you see them in people, connect yourself. Connect yourself. Connect yourself. Walk into relationships as an asset.
Till ability.
An asset. Someone that people, they are eager to hear from. Your friends are eager to talk to you.
Am I talking to somebody here? Someone said, I don't call you on phone. Say, because you ask questions that take me off balance. First time he called me on phone, and he said he does this. And I said, where do you hope to find yourself in the next 7 years? He said, oh, I've not thought of it. I said, don't call me. Think. Someone submitted his ministry to us some time back. And I said to him, it's a risk for me to mentor you. Because if I call you midnight, you must speak. I won't call you twice. If I call you 2 a.m. and you don't pick, it means you are sleeping. Why are you sleeping? My pastors know. I call you anytime. It's a law. Once, you must speak. So just keep the phone there and be praying. Because it could ring. I will call you to speak some words over you. I will call you to give you a prophetic direction. You must speak. Hallelujah. Someone is getting uncomfortable. Am I still going to submit to this man? Am I communicating? So you've got to select and be very proactive. Sir, that we are all Christians doesn't mean we all think alike. You see, they were all virgins, but some are wise. So chastity and purity was not the problem. The problem was mentality. Mentality, 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 mentality. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 verse 20. It says the companion of fools shall be destroyed. There are people God see in your life and their presence changes your story. Genesis 39 verse 5. He says, and the God made the Egyptian prosper for Joseph's sake. In Genesis 30 verse 27. Laban said, he said, I have learned by experience. Another translation says, I have learned by divining the oracle that God has blessed me because of you. God said to Abraham, to Isaac in Genesis 26, 24. He said, I will bless you because of Abraham, thy father's sake. There are people God see in your life. It attracts a blessing. One time they met a man of God called Elisha. They said, speak to us. And he said, were it not for Hezekiah, the king of Israel, I would not, Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, I would not have spoken. Meaning I'm prophesying because of the presence of Jehoshaphat. I'm not in the mood to prophesy, but by reason of his walk with God. I decree the right person on your feet. The right man. Listen to me. As I anoint you today, as I make declarations on that oil, every gate, every limitation, every resistor is broken. A young lady in Spain, a city called Victoria, gave a testimony. Some of you may have watched that on TV. And the testimony goes like this. She was in jail. And she had the revelation, the Lord used my form and appeared to her. And I said to her, see me in Germany. He said, Dad, I'm in jail. And she said, I walked away. She went to one of the keepers of the prison and said, my father and the Lord appeared in prison and said, I should come to jail. How many of you watched that testimony? Okay. Now, the man said, go. But they have to keep a device on you to track you. So she attended the program. And she had the revelation, obviously. And in the course of the meeting, the Lord called someone by name. And she bore the same name. So she ran out, oh God! It was in her. She felt a little bit unhappy. While she was going back to her seat, I called everyone. I said, no, all of you are feeling sad. Come. This is the person I'm talking to. All of you come. I laid hands on them and said a few things. But when it got to her turn, I said, you are free. She was done. Flew back. And went back to jail. It's okay. What is it? See, I'm done with the program. And they say, why did you come back? You are discharged
and acquitted.
Sir, it doesn't happen naturally in Europe. Anywhere in the world.
We are in Johannesburg, South Africa, ministry in our headquarters church. I think Reverend Kisley was there. Reverend Fidelis was there too. And I called the lady by prophecy. It was it was on a Friday. And I said, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, your brother who has been in prison for 27 years will be released. So South Africa, you were there. Okay. I said, he will be released next day. Now, you must understand something. I didn't just say he will be released. That was Friday. The next day was Saturday. They don't work on Saturdays. So she was looking at me. People did not scream. We're like, I don't understand. Friday, by this time to Saturday, how? Who will go there to open? When will they sign the papers? When will they finish up the paperwork? What is my, you know, they're trying to analyze. And I told them to stay back. I said they should stay back because the church was just picking up. So I said they should stay back for the Sunday service. And I left. On Sunday, my phone was on fire. My phone was on fire. Dr. Emmanuel started. He was calling. And I said, what's going on? They said, on Saturday, one of the mayors was going around the prison, checking the books, and discovered the young man has been released months back, but was not aware. Why are you still here? He said, but this is your dispatch. Come, sign here. Get out. Go! While he was leaving, called the sister. That Sunday, he was in church with a sister. Because God is not a man for him to lie. When you are anointed today, as that oil touches your head, every gate, every demonic legislation, pronouncement and utterations, every divining mirror, accusing tongue, evil finger, satanic crystal ball, every necromancer, stargazer, astrologer, every star hunter, every witchcraft spell, by the power of the Holy Ghost, under the anointing, it shall be swallowed up. We are going to pray one prayer the Lord gave me, which I have been praying since morning, some minutes past 3 UK time. Lord, pull down the gates. And please just obey me. It may sound primitive. Just obey me. Okay? As you are praying, pull down the gates, you need prophetic action. Just obey me. Don't. I know this is England. But just obey. Pull down. That's what I've been doing. Pull down the gates. Pull down the gates. Prophetic action. That's what the Lord told me. Because as you are doing that spiritually, something is going to be happening. Now you may not do this after now, but for now, this is what the Lord is telling me we should do as at this point. Say, my Father, as I begin to pray,
as I begin to pray,
oh Lord, arise,
oh Lord, arise,
pull down the gate,
pull down.
Go ahead, prophetic action, pull down the gate,
oh,
pull down the gate.
Da 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 da
Spirit this morning. What is happening in the realm of the spirit this morning? If your eyes could be open to see it, it's very graphic. What is happening is terrific. There are gate men, demonic gatekeepers that have just been swallowed up. They are swallowed up.
Amen.
Listen to this. As I pray, it doesn't take him time, it takes him words. One of our daughters had a boutique where they sell clothes. She came from Turkey. The whole everywhere jammed with clothes. Nobody was buying female wears. Nobody came to the shop. And a word came on her and said the whole shop cleared up. Now the word came. The next day on a Monday, a man came with his daughters and their friends and they emptied the shop. You can't call that a coincidence. Who goes to a shop to empty it? A lady had a cold room shop where she sell frozen chicken. And she was panicking. Daddy, I'm losing my cup and nobody's coming. A word was spoken. The next day, somebody for a wedding cleared. She was begging them to leave one with her. She said, please leave one with me. They said, everything. You say coincidence? A man came from Port Harcourt and then I'm dropping a seed and the Lord said, you are going to be rich. Go and start selling water. He said, water. So I'm a graduate too. Sir, pray again, see something. Give him some money. He went, bought some machines and was selling water. And after a while, I began to put them in bottles. He would call and say, sir, nobody, oh, not even one. He was doing water and he was drinking it because nobody was coming. Someone from Bayelsa bought it one time and went to Bayelsa, was drinking. And the then president saw him and said, I'm testing. He gave him one. And he said, my adopted daughter is doing a wedding. Whoever did this thing should come and just supply water. Unlimited.
They didn't ask for 20 cartons or 20. They called it on. Just keep supplying, supplying. It didn't make 60 million. From the world. 60 million. He said, sir, if you tell me to enter home now, I will enter. Listen to me. Today, to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus, the strong man that stopped others in your family, that stopped your siblings before now, their time is up.
Rime! Be free in the name of Jesus. Rime! Be free in the name of Jesus. Rime!
Thank you, Father. If you have a bottle of oil, open the oil. Open the oil. Open the oil. Kola Manta Kashi. Who is Conte? Who is Conte? Satu. Conte. Conte. Who is Conte? Brendiaka Sopalarabayalash. There's someone, your husband has cancer. Someone, the husband has cancer. Is it you? Come here. There's a response from the throne. Holy Spirit, we worship your name. You have the picture. We give you praise. Alabada. Who is a Honda? What's a Honda? What is a Honda? A Honda. We worship your name. If I say something about you, please come. Mantala baragada gada 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 gada
gada.
Wombs are open. Closed wombs are open. God is perfecting your health, making you totally whole, making you totally whole. The healing hand of God is touching you. Lift up the oil. Who has a daughter called Frida? Who has a daughter called Frida? Your daughter's name is Frida. Come first. By the stripes of Jesus. And make declarations, and we ask in the name of Jesus, the Lord shall henceforth connect you to the right people. God shall connect you not to people you want, but people you need. Your life shall be productive from now. You know, see what God did for Joseph. See what God did in 12 hours. God gave him 5 miracles. 12 hours. First, he said, bring him out of the prison. Divine relocation. Bring him out. They brought him out. He said, clean him up. They changed his garment and they saved him. That is acceptance. Acceptance. And the king gave him a ring.
authority.
And the king gave him a wife,
helper. And number five, he put him on the horse, speed. In the next 12 hours, five miracles. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, we decree it done. That you? You are?
Yeah, for 20 years.
For 20
years. Yeah, and I'm going to my country for 18 years. Nothing works.
No, what is affliction on you?
I don't know. Every time I listen to you, man of God.
You listen to me?
Yeah, I just commit. Even 2-3 days ago, before I come, I take a picture. It's in my phone. I was committing always this, always this.
Stand up. Lord, for your name is holy. Open the oil. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we decree into this oil the bodily, tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. The bodily, practical, tangible, evident, miracle provoking, testimony initiating presence of the Holy Spirit. Said, thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons with oil, that they may be able to minister in the priest's office. I decree ability in this oil. Is there any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven. I decree by this anointing, the Lord raise you up. 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 In the name of Jesus. Anoint yourself and make declaration. If you don't have oil, let somebody by your side just give you. Brother, all the years that the canker won, this is what the Lord is telling me. And the locust has eaten. Jesus said, we restore. Enter your restoration. In a matter of weeks, God will restore you. It will happen speedily. It will happen speedily. It will happen speedily. Out of her. Whatever Jesus has not planted, let it go.
For your name is holy. Holy, Lord.
I want to pray. Can I pray for you tonight? Can I do that tonight? Tonight. You what? Lord bless you. May he speak for you. Can I pray for you tonight? I'm seeing something that's not clear. So tonight, remind me. There's something I'm seeing that's just coming off, and I want to speak to you tonight. I want to pray for you in the service, in this service tonight. I decree today by the power of the Holy Spirit, the harvest around you, I activate it in your hands. I activate it in your hands.
Amen.
Enter rest.
Amen.
Enter your rest.
Amen.
Enter your rest. May the Lord surprise you.
You see, I'm going to say this. This came when I was praying early this morning. I don't know. I'm just pacing back and forth trying to see if it's for somebody. And it's not coming as a direct message for one person. So I'm sensing it's for a group. Because my pacing to and fro, if it's for an individual, the Lord should have dropped who the person is. But it's not coming. So I'm seeing it for a group. The Lord is saying, I should tell you, that the month of May, the mighty God that forms bones in the womb would usher you to a strange level of financial explosion. Listen. Scientists can't tell you how bones are formed. Meaning, indescribable, inexplainable. A mind-blowing financial explosion!
Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And as it happens, remember who prayed for you.
I don't take money to pray for to see me for counseling is free. You don't fee form. You don't pay deliverance fee. Nothing. But after God does it, be wise.
Very free.
Those who come to Nigeria can tell you. We just walk to the office, we sit down, pray with you. Or at least you have a conscience. When the story turns around, you see the harvest. And I'm saying that to somebody. This May, God will blow your mind.
Receive your harvest. Receive your harvest.
Go ahead and appreciate Him for it. Appreciate Him for this word. For this word.
Awesome.
In the name of Jesus. You are yelling.
Overwhelming outburst.
You do not need a sign. What you need is a wonder. Wonder is about man. Sign is about God.
Greater Works is coming to Belgium.
I will be in Antwerp. Be my guest anywhere you live in Europe.
The 25th and 26th February 2020 at Antwerp J on Van Roos Hoekland, 191 2020 Antwerp by 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. GMT plus 1.
Mighty manifestation of the move of God. I'm believing God that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former.
For updates, please call +32 465 445702 or +32 466 081043. Greater Works 2020, Apostle Jensen Suleiman.
I'll see you in Belgium.
Asian powers from the Asian God comes to Toronto, Canada.
Please take a minute. This is good news coming. You don't want to miss all God has outlined for you this year, 2020. I will come to Toronto, Canada for outburst of God's grace and glory. We're going to be gathering at the feet of the Master to eat from His table, spreading our hands to receive His blessings, touching our lives, moving us from one level of glory to another.
3rd and 4th March 2020 by 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. daily, live at Toronto Grand Convention Center, number 30, Bay Woodrow, Toronto, Canada. For inquiries, please call +164 7385 9871 or +164 7909 0842.
Is a year of greater grace, greater glory, greater works. I see you there.
Shout glory!
Praise God. From Atlanta to the rest of the world, I'm coming to Atlanta. Be my guest in this great outburst and outpour of God's overwhelming grace and power and glory for signs, wonders, and miracles.
Help another miracle. This man became crippled at the age of 3.
Since he was 3.
Papa, he was healing when he became.
Look at the bone, twisted. Look at the bone.
This is Greater Works 2020. You live in the United States of America, you live in South America, you live in Mexico, you live in the surroundings, or you live in Europe. Be my guest. Tell everyone, your friends, your relatives, and tell them to tell someone that Apostle Johnson Suleiman is coming to Atlanta. Tell the 1st of March and the 1st of April. The first quarter, it's time to wrap it up and wrap it up with grace and glory. I'll see you in Atlanta.